Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, the Dynasty of Amshuman, text number 8. Yukva Saripo Devam Tapaso Yacho Yachivam Kalenal Piyasagrajams Tasyeshas Chasvatushita Iti Yuktva. After saying this, Saha He Ripa, the king, Bhagarath, Devam, unto Lord Shiva, Tapasa, by executing austerities, Atoshayat, pleased, Shiva, Lord Shiva, the all-auspicious, Kalena, by time, Alpiyasa, which was not very long, Rajan, O King, Tasya, upon him, Bhagirath, Isha, Lord Shiva, Cha, indeed, Ashu, very soon, Atushita, became satisfied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After saying this, Bhagirath satisfied Lord Shiva by performing austerities. O King Parikshit, Lord Shiva is very quickly satisfied with Bhagiratha. Purport. The words Ashvatushita indicate that Lord Shiva was satisfied very soon. Therefore, another name for Lord Shiva is Atosha, Ashutosha. Materialistic persons become attached to Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva bestows benedictions upon anyone and everyone very quickly, not caring how his devotees prosper or suffer. Although materialistic persons know that material happiness is nothing but another side of suffering, they want it. And to get it very quickly, they worship Lord Shiva. We find that materialistic generally devotees of many demigods, especially Lord Shiva and Mother Durga, they do not actually want spiritual happiness, for it is almost unknown to them. But if one is serious about being happy spiritually, he must take shelter of Lord Vishnu, as the Lord personally demands. Sarva dharma prajaja mamekam sharanam braja ahang dvang sarva papevyo mokshi syamima suchaha. Banner all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. The Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Iduktva sa ripo devam tapasa toshavatshivam kalenal piyusarajams tas yeshas chash patushita. After saying this, Bhagarath satisfied Lord Shiva by performing austerities. O King Parikshit, Lord Shiva is very quickly satisfied with Bhagarath. The most basic principle, or one of the most basic principles in Krishna consciousness, is that Krishna consciousness gives one a higher taste. And that higher taste progresses from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti to prema bhakti and expands beyond that eternally. There are six qualities of devotional service, three in the sadhana bhakti, three in bhava bhakti, and three in prema bhakti. And the two in sadhana bhakti are klesha agni and sudur, no, pr, Klesha Agni, frees from material distress, and Sudurlava. That means difficult to be. Subhada. Subhada means he gives one all auspicious qualities. And one of those qualities, it gives one a happiness which is greater than sense gratification. Klesha Agni means it frees one from sinful reactions. By sinful activities, one becomes full of distress, and therefore one is always suffering. Either due to avidya, ignorance, because in ignorance we think we're this body, and therefore we're in suffering because of impending death. Avidya, asmita, raga and dvesha, and abhinivesita. That because of avidya, therefore there is false ego. Because we don't know who we are, we are put into illusion by the illusory, by maya, and therefore we think ourselves to be something we're not, namely this body, or the mind. Or sometimes we even identify with our material conceptions of life. And as soon as we do that, then the body is programmed to certain desires and aversions. And therefore, as one is, the mind becomes cloudy and full of distress, therefore one is fearful of death. What's going to happen of death? Abhinivesita. And some of that avidya comes papa, sinful activities, which arise, give rise to different types of karma, pragya, the karma which is manifested, parabdha karma and aparabdha karma, the unmanifested karma, which gives rise in the future to kuta, material tendency towards material activities or sinful activities, which give rise to papa in the future, sinful desire. And the cycle goes on. And the only way of breaking the cycle is to get free from avidya. So avidya ultimately is not only we're this body, but also we don't know actually who's controlling everything, where everything comes from, including ourselves. So we don't see things as they are, and we imagine things in our own way according to the modes of nature that we're situated. What is that verse? That according to the one sattva, sattvam, sattvanrupa sarvasha sharad bhavati bharata, Sharoma yo yo purusham yo yo sharasa eva saha. That sadvan rupa sarvasha sharad bhavati bharata. According to the one's modes of material nature, one is situated under, one derives a particular kind of faith. So our faith is determined by the modes of nature we're situated under. There's a reality and then there's our reality. But then again, because we have a certain reality, therefore we act in a certain way, and that produces another experience for us, which we take as reality. So people's reality is always changing according to their activities, and according to their reality, they perform activities which will change their faith. So therefore people have no steady conceptions of life. It's always changing. If you talk to someone, you get into a discussion with them, in a few minutes they change their mind, and they may even be arguing vehemently the very thing that they were arguing against 5 minutes ago, and they forget. And then they claim that they've always held that position, until they change it 5 minutes later. Therefore, in the ever-changing material conceptions of life, one never has a steady mind or a steady intelligence. without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So one who's not in Krishna consciousness, neither the mind nor the intelligence can be steady. And therefore, Subhada means that at least one gradually gets free from one's distress of material existence as one becomes purified by the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and especially by the principle of trying to use our intelligence to fix our minds upon Krishna, because Krishna is the purifying principle. Association with Krishna means that maya goes away. Krishna Suryasama Maya Haya Andhakar. Yahun Krishna Tahu Maya Krishna Adhikara. Wherever Krishna is, maya can't be. So if Krishna is present in our consciousness, then maya can't be there. Or as much as Krishna is present, as much as we experience his name or remember his forms or experience his qualities or his associates or their pastimes, to that extent maya goes away. And at the stage of Bhava Bhakti, then there are two qualities. One is Sudurlava, it's difficult to achieve. And those who are in Bhava Bhakti, they derive the happiness, they think material happiness to be insignificant. Sudurlava and Klesha Agni, rarely achieved. So Bhava Bhakti is rarely achieved. And it's, what is the other quality? Sudurlava is rarely achieved, and, well, in any case, it gives one happiness beyond material happiness. Do we have a nectar devotion? We have our pocket nectar devotion. Klesha. Sudurlava is rarely achieved, and it's something about gives one happy. Anyways, the happiness in Bhava Bhakti is derived even the happiness of liberation. That's it. The pure devotional service derives even the happiness of liberation. Moksha lagu kriyate. Liberation seems insignificant. So by sadhana bhakti, one can actually come to liberation, from that's called nishta. And then progress towards Bhava Bhakti through Ruchi and Asakti. And then at Bhava Bhakti, which is just one ray in the sunlight of Prema, one experiences Moksha Lagu Kriyate. That happiness one got from liberation was insignificant compared to the happiness in Bhava Bhakti. And then at the stage of Prema, it has two qualities. Does anyone know what the two qualities, one of the qualities in Prema Bhakti is? Krishna Akarshini and Sundar Nanda Vikshep Atma. It's the only way of, it actually attracts Krishna. Krishna becomes attracted to the devotee in Prema Bhakti. And the happiness is so intense, Prema Bhakti, that one is not even aware of material existence anymore. And Bhava Bhakti, material existence seems like a dream. Instead of now, we think spiritual life is a dream. And in Prema Bhakti, we find that material life becomes, one is not even able to remember the dream called material life anymore. Everything is seen in relationship to Krishna, in reality. But the happiness is so intense when one is not even aware of material existence anymore, the threefold miseries. Although externally one may appear, in order to take care of the body, one has to be somewhat aware of what material existence is like. But that doesn't mean that one is that, but there's no suffering, because one is actually absorbed in pleasure, transcendental pleasure all the time. But one is still conscious of what's going on in the material world, but it doesn't really bother one. Just like, for instance, if you're suffering in a dream, well, that may not be a good example. that if you're watching a movie and you don't identify with the movie, you're aware of what's going on in the movie, but you're not really so much caught up. Your friend may be completely caught up emotionally in the movie, but if you're not really, if you perhaps you were helping out making the movie, you know the whole thing's just a fake. And therefore you're not emotionally caught up, and you don't even like the actors. So you don't really care if they get so-called killed in the movie. So you're aware of what's going on, you can tell people what's good, but you're not really emotionally involved, and therefore you don't suffer when the hero suffers, and you're not joyful when the hero becomes victorious. So similarly, a liberated soul is actually enjoying within, the pleasure from within, and therefore he enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. But for a materialist who's not even aware that they're not their body, the only thing they have to absorb their mind is in this body. There's nothing else to get pleasure from. Sometimes they try to get pleasure from mental speculation, from mental concoction, dreaming that they're flying in the sky, or that they become, you know, the hero in some movie or something. They have mystic powers. Imagining. And that way they derive some kind of vicarious pleasure from their imagination. But ultimately they have to come down to the material platform, the gross platform, when it's time to eat or sleep. And therefore, in the mode of ignorance, one takes pleasure, especially from sleeping and eating, sex and defending. And in the mode of passion, one gets pleasure when he sees that he's eating better than other people are eating. And the mode of goodness, one is taking pleasure by the subtleties of material nature, the peacefulness of material nature, how material nature is working in harmony. But it's all mundane, and therefore there's only mundane pleasure in the mundane world. The mode of goodness is less distress, and therefore that's taken as more pleasure. And the mode of passion, one is hankering for pleasure and will work hard for it, and therefore one is willing to suffer to get a little drop of pleasure. And the mode of ignorance, one is only suffering, and therefore there's no question of working, trying to do very much, because it doesn't matter what one thinks, it doesn't matter what I do, still the same thing, the same end is there. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Why should I bother trying to increase it? For me, it's all the same anyhow. Therefore, for the materialist, Lord Shiva is fantastic because you don't have to work very hard. And he's in the mode of, he's in charge of the people in the mode of ignorance who don't want to work very hard. So he never asks them to do very much because they won't do it. They're in ignorance. People in ignorance won't work very hard. Therefore, Krishna is Lord Shiva is Asutosh. He gives benedictions very easily, because otherwise no one would ever ask him for a benediction if it actually took any effort. That's the Lord Brahma of passion. For passionate people, they want some benediction, then they go to Lord Brahma because they want it to be special. Like Hiranyakashipu, he wants to live forever. If he went to Lord Shiva would maybe give him some benediction and tell him to get lost. But neither Lord Shiva nor Brahma could give him the benediction that he wanted. And therefore, since it was something which is impossible to achieve, he thought, I have to do something very difficult to achieve it. So Hiranyakashipu stood on the tip of his toes for 120 years of the demigods, in order to get an impossible benediction. And indeed, that's what happened. He got a benediction which was didn't fulfill his desire to be immortal. But he thought he got the benediction, or so many benedictions that he could avoid death. But because he was impassioned, his intelligence was covered, he didn't understand properly what was going on. And those in the mode of goodness, generally they worship the demigods, but generally the one they worship is Krishna. The Brahmins generally worship Vishnu, a form of Vishnu, looking for liberation. Those in passion who want some material, practically impossible desire to fulfill, they worship Brahma and some other demigods. And those who want quick benedictions, they worship Lord Shiva. Although we find Vrikasura, he was cutting his flesh from his body and throwing it into a fire, hoping that Lord Shiva would appear from the fire. But he just got it wrong, that's all. Then finally, when Lord Shiva didn't appear, therefore he decided to take his hair. He bathed himself first, then he took his hair, held it in one hand, took a big knife and was going to cut off his head, swaha, and throw it into the fire. And then Lord Shiva came and appeared, had a compassion for this foolish demon. He said, why are you going through so much difficulty? You could have offered me a little Gandhi's water and a little bilva fruit and gotten the same benediction I'm going to give you now. But because he was a demon, he didn't know that. Actually, he took the advice of Narada Muni, because Narada Muni knew that if he asked Brahma for such a benediction, Brahma probably wouldn't give it to him. And certainly he wouldn't get it from Lord Vishnu. Only Lord Shiva, who's Ashutosh, would give him such a benediction. Which ultimately proved to be fatal to the demon. But Lord Shiva doesn't care because they're in ignorance. They deserve what they get what they deserve. In any case, if we want a higher taste, the only way of getting it is to become Krishna conscious. Of course, mode of passion is higher than ignorance, and goodness is higher than passion, but even liberation is insignificant compared to even one ray in the ocean, in the sunlight of prema. So the happiness, what we're looking for, the ocean of happiness, anandam buddhivardhanam, can only be had when we fix our consciousness completely in Krishna consciousness through the process of pure devotional service. Other than that, material happiness is like one drop in the desert. And even liberation is considered, if the happiness in Brahman were multiplied 100 trillion times, it wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction in one drop in the ocean of pure devotional service. Happiness in one drop, one fraction of a drop in the ocean of pure devotional service. Which means that there's a lot of happiness in pure devotional service. If we become, give up our desires for something other than Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Khala, Grantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.